Germany's technically in a recession. Hello and thanks for tuning in to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne and let's get our economic textbooks out because a recession is commonly defined as two successive quarters of GDP contraction. And that's just what happened to Germany. It's Europe's biggest economy and its GDP shrank in the first quarter of this year and in the last quarter of last year. So there you have it. Recession. But how significant is a technical recession? Earlier, I put that question to Klaus Vistesen. He's chief Eurozone economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics.
I think it's significant. I mean, it shows that Germany, as the European economy that was probably most exposed to the energy shock from Russia's invasion of Ukraine, has now suffered a recession. It's probably a relatively mild one compared to expectations early on, especially last year when prices of gas were very high and people were worried a lot about a very, very severe recession. But it's a recession all the same, and we are starting to see it affect the labour market a little bit as well.
One thing I saw was that industrial production seemed to suffer the most. Is that linked to the energy prices?
So industrial production has definitely been affected by energy prices, but not as much as we would have expected. So actually, it was consumer spending that fell the most in Germany in the fourth quarter and the first quarter. And what's interesting here is that actually German consumers are spending a lot of money, but because of high prices, they're not getting a lot for it. And that's what we're seeing in the GDP numbers, right? That's the inflation adjusted growth numbers are very poor and therefore there's a recession. But actually, in terms of sort of what German consumers are spending, you know, they're spending more, but they're not getting much for their money. But so the economy is not in the kind of recession we saw, for example, during the great financial crisis or during the sovereign debt crisis in the Eurozone. In that sense, it's a mild recession compared to the previous sort of big cyclical downturns we've seen in the European economy.
Is this going to have an impact on Europe as a whole? I mean, it is Europe's biggest economy.
Well, it is. The good news is that Southern Europe, at least at the start of the year, did very well. The French economy has also been doing better than the German economy. So in a way, as we often see in the European economy, if some economies are doing poorly, others are doing well, and we're seeing that as well. But the Eurozone economy is still sort of with zero growth, but not as bad as Germany.
Thank you so much, Klaus Vistesen, chief Eurozone economist at Pantheon Macroeconomics. Thank you for joining us in Marketplace.
Thanks for having me.
Now let's do the numbers. Traders are still concerned about this whole US debt ceiling standoff and that it won't get resolved, so Asian stocks and currencies are down. And the International Monetary Fund, or the IMF, has approved a multi-billion dollar loan for Ivory Coast. Here's the BBC's business correspondent, Katie Silver, to tell us more.
So it's a $3.5 billion arrangement, and it would go on for just over 3 years. They're going to receive about $500 million almost immediately. Now, according to the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, they say that this should help to promote macroeconomic stability in the near term. And then in the longer term, they're hoping it's going to help towards economic transformation. And of course, this West African country has been hit by many global shocks recently. The pandemic, the global downturn, and the interest rate hikes that have come along with that, plus the Ukraine war.
The BBC's Katie Silver reporting. The Spanish government is considering a plan to help subsidise bars in small towns and villages in rural areas. It's part of a push to help boost the economy in places where most of the population has left. The BBC's Guy Hedgeco reports.
I'm in the village of Jorcas, which is located midway between the Spanish capital Madrid and the northeastern city of Barcelona. Now, it has a population of just 36 people, and I'm standing next to the church. I can see absolutely no one on the streets. Jorcas is part of what is known as emptied Spain, which is the vast rural areas of the country where population density is extremely low. The heart of this village, like so many across Spain, is the local bar. It's a small room with a large television, a few tables and a coffee machine. Sitting at one table is Laureano Fethith, a 74-year-old who left the village as a young man to find work in the city of Valencia, but returned here during the pandemic. The bar is extremely important, he says, because without it, the village doesn't have any other place for people to gather. If we didn't have the bar, each person would stay at home and we wouldn't see each other. But Neus Asensi, who runs the bar, says although it's a vital part of the community, it doesn't actually make any money.
We have to organise all sorts of other activities here. So you have to find other sources of income in order to make a profit, or rather just to break even.
Most of the jobs in Horcas, like in most rural areas, were linked to crop farming. But that has gone into decline as people left to find work in the cities. 90% of Spain's population now lives in larger urban areas. This is a rally of a political movement of small rural parties that are campaigning for the government to help repopulate the countryside. They want special grants and tax breaks to help run bars in towns with under 200 people living there. Pedro Sangüesa from the Teruel Existe party is running for mayor in Horcas. He says that's just the start.
We are fighting to improve lives in our villages, to improve infrastructure, have better services, better internet connections, and improve our roads, which are very bad.
Spain's national lawmakers are now considering the proposal. If it proves to be a winning ticket for rural parties in next Sunday's local elections, they may just sit up and listen. I'm the BBC's Guy Hedgeco for Marketplace.
And I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.